In the course of the Shia, what we do is that we take one sugya in the Daf HaYomi of the week and we try to examine it a bit more carefully. So I decided to examine the sugya of Dina Machusa Dina, which is found here on Daf Chav Chesem and Aleph in Masech and Nedarim. We'll get to it momentarily. Maybe just by way of introduction to the topic, so I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Nisim Alpazatzal. He told me that when his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, came to America, so they apparently changed the age on his passport when he left Russia. I'm not sure exactly what the details are of this, but because they changed the age, so the Social Security in America started sending him checks and thinking he was 65, and apparently he was really 62. So what did Rav Moshe do? Every single check he sent back. That's statement number one. As I heard from my Rebbe, at least from Alpert. I'll tell you two more little vignettes. Maybe some more people will come in the meanwhile. So I heard from also another Talmud of Rav Aaron Kotler that whenever the yeshiva was supposed to receive government funding, and those who know what's happening in America or what goes on in general in this area, plenty, no shortage of skullduggery. So they had to submit the list of Talmidim who were in the yeshiva in order to qualify for the government funding. So the secretary of the yeshiva would put together a list, and Rav Aaron Kotler would ask him many times over, are you sure this is the right number of Talmidim? Maybe a Talmud left today, maybe something else happened, and he was exceptionally honest. He wanted to make sure that the moment he signed his name, that was the exact number of Talmidim in the yeshiva. And three is with the Rav Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik, and this is reported by, there's a book by Seth Farber. He wrote a book, actually, he lives here in Ranana, I don't know if you know him, met him a number of times. So he wrote a book on the days of Rav Soloveitchik in Boston. No one knows much about that. It's cool for when he started Maimonides, but more significantly, there he talks about when Rav Soloveitchik came, so he was the Rav of Boston, the Rav HaKolel. He decided to enter the area of Shechita and to see what he could do to make reforms in the area of Shechita in the 30s. And the Shechita then was controlled by the Mafia, totally lock, stock, and barrel. And there was all types of, again, using the term advisedly, skullduggery that used to go on over there. And the Rav decided to go after them. They reported on him. They decided to have to get rid of this upstart. He was a thorn in their side. And so they reported on him to the authorities that he was guilty of tax evasion and all the kinds of tax fraud and different issues in the area of taxes. And the IRS then decided to investigate him. This investigation went on for a number of years. And at the end, and matter of fact, it actually probably was ma'akib a little bit, his becoming, after his father, Zatzal, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, passed away, replacing his father in the yeshiva. But at the end, what emerged was, they discovered, after a thorough investigation, he reports on this, Seth Farber, that Rav Soloveitchik way overpaid his taxes, way overpaid, way anything beyond that he was supposed to do, and he was impeccably honest, literally down to the last penny, shekel, whatever, sterling, whatever currency you decide you're engaged in. So these are three examples of three Gdolei Yisrael, how they operated, and more or less this is what my father showed. He found that to be his model. These were his models, and this is how we should operate. Doesn't make a difference where you are. I will get to the Eretz Yisrael piece in a little while. Maybe if not today, probably next week. But whatever the case is, these are three introductory messages. Now, there are four areas where this din of Din Machusa applies. You can actually see it here in a tshuva of the Dvar Avraham, on page number 3, in the Ha'ara on the bottom. I hope it's relatively clear. But he more or less discusses the particular arenas where this is relevant. And I just point out that Dina Machusa Dina applies whether it's a democracy or a monarchy or a republic. Dina Machusa Dina. Perhaps it may not apply if you have an autocracy, a dictatorship. That's already another discussion among the Gdolei HaPoskim. But more or less, now the Dvar Avraham was a, Rav Soloveitchik considered him to be, he considered him to be his Rebbe. But I understood the Dvar Avraham, the Kovner Rav, said that he was, Rav Soloveitchik was a Talmud Chavre of his. That's how he described him. He's quoted Rav Soloveitchik in this Sefer Dvar Avraham. I myself have seen it a number of times. Rabbi Lichtenstein Zatzal, our Rebbe, quoted this Dvar Avraham, the one Adina Machus Adina. It's the first time I heard about the Sefer. And then he also, a number of other times, he quoted it, and he cited Rav Soloveitchik, which he didn't hear from the Rav, but through the Dvar Avraham, different Chiddushei Torah, are found here. So here in this page, on page number 3, Anaf Gimel, Simon Aleph, he more or less points out there are 4 areas where this issue is applicable. Number 1, a government can levy and collect taxes. Taxes, I think I studied American history in my day. Taxation without representation is tyranny. But putting that aside, taxes is something that is within the parameters of any government to go ahead and levy such taxes. That's not considered to be an act of gezel or geneva. That's something which is under din hamachus hadin. That's one area that he cites here. If you take a look in the first, in Aleph, in the first line there, which I underline, he speaks about hatalat misim, bechasim, bechadome, the tzorcha medina, ulahanaso, the dino din. Next, number 2 is, he also discusses it here, minting currency. Minting currency, whatever the accepted matbea in the medina is, a government has the right to do that. That's also within, very much within the framework of a government, is to mint currency. Number 3, he doesn't actually. Yeah. I mean, it's like in the Hine, the Dina Mahusadino. You see the little heart on the bottom, Yistaev Lishne Sugim. You see it? Rabbi Munitz, you see what I'm reading?
Nope.
On the bottom of the page. I didn't underline it?
I see it. Just,
yeah, where I underlined it.
Right, so but the page says Badinim Shiladam, no currency.
No. He doesn't mention that here, but in context of this is a long, long tshuva.
Okay.
Tshuva is 20 pages.
So,
here he only mentions 2 items, but there are 4 altogether that he deals with. The second is minting currency. Okay. The third is the right of the king to punish criminals. And and here he actually, if you take a look at Bet, I think Bet, this would be included. Bedinim shemet al mechavero, bekinyonim laso chenu zoche, midibrei Torah kezoche, v'havkaat al balim, v'haknaal achareah, kibishtor Yaakov, besuga de gidin, v'abasa. But essentially, this includes, as well, as I said, law and order, marecha mishpatit, and essentially, law and order in society, that's also under dinam achus adinam. And the 4th, he doesn't mention over here, but he mentioned the tshuva, is passing and implementing laws that are l'toelat hamdina. He does actually allude to it over here. Let's say traffic laws, laws of speeding, you know, the old question whether in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, not a car in sight, red light, am I allowed to cross the in the red light? Rabban the Chassin held it's awesome. Others disagree with him. They say the whole idea of that, of the red and green light, is in order to assure the safety of the citizenry and the light. There's not a car in sight. There's no, it would not be makbid if you were to do so. But Rabban Lichtenstein, we have here a Talmud Buvak. Rabban Lichtenstein, so that's the way he operated. He was Ish Emes, not 50%, not 75%, not 98%, 100% Ish Emes Lagamri. Okay, so now these are the 4 areas, and we're going to focus in this particular Shia on taxes in terms of the right of the government to levy taxes, or beyond that, of course, the obligation of the Ezrachei HaMedina to pay those taxes. We have to, not just can they levy taxes, we have an obligation to pay those taxes. Let's start actually on page 1, and I should have actually meant to do it, but I forgot to. The source actually for this is the same Gemara in the Dorim that we just had in Chav Chet this week, but also it's in, as you see in front of you, in Ba'abasu in the Dal Lama Beis. The Gemara calls the Din of Shmuel, Din of Achus HaDina, and there's a very beautiful Rashbam here, which is very significant. The Rashbam writes, I underlined it. Omar Shmuel Dina Machus Adina, Kol Misim Varnoniot, Uminagot Shal Mishpatei Melachim, Sherigilim Lahanhig B'Malchusam Dinohu, Shekol B'nei HaMalchus Mikablim Aleyem Mirtzonam Chuki HaMelech Mishpatei. A very significant statement that the Rashbam makes. Namely, that the citizenry essentially accept the Chuki HaMelech, and they give him the authority to go ahead and, as he writes afterwards, "Bihilkoch din gomruhu, vein lamachzik b'mam chavero al pi chok hamelach hanuhug b'ir mishum gaza." Means again, if someone is following the rules and the law of the country, so that's the din that we accepted upon ourselves. And it's essentially, maybe you want to call this, I'm not using Rousseau's terminology, social contract, but this is a contract. That's what it is. And this contract is accepted by the citizenry of the country. And so one of the, as a matter of fact, that's one of the theories of government, this social contract that I said earlier. It probably would not apply in a dictatorship. The question is, how do you define a dictatorship? And it's another asik also in halacha, how do you define that? But here you see clearly from this statement in the Rashbam that essentially it's a hitchayvut. We are mitchaye, we the citizenry, agree to accept upon ourselves the government and their implementation of laws that they obviously see, they deem fit for the country, and that's the basis for this concept of dinam achusa dinam. Now, I just should mention, I don't know why I didn't xerox it, but I should have, but you all are familiar with the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Pasuk in Tanakh. So, let's read it. That's right. No, Melech is not a dictator. Ain Melech below Am, Chazal say. So we're assuming that the Am accepted what?
Versus the Moshel.
Yeah.
Conquered.
I mean, the Moshel, the Gaon is Mechala between Melech and Moshel. Moshel is someone who imposes, who foists his position on you, but not a Melech. Melech is Ain Melech below Am, with the exception of Hashem is Barach. That's what also Asalvechik. Adon Olam Hashem Malach. He's the Melech below Am, even without an Am, without a creation. He can be the Melech, but otherwise the Melech is an Am. Melech always has a people. Anyway, so here in Shmuel, as you know, when Shmuel, essentially he was opposed to what the Navi told him, that he has to appoint the king. I'm talking about Shaul HaMelech, and Shmuel railed against it, and the reason why he railed against it is a long list of items that the king is capable of doing. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that perhaps I probably should read that Gemara as well, the Gemara has two opinions with reference to this. These psukim, here it tells you that a melech has the ability to conscript your children, take them into the army. He can go ahead and usurp and essentially confiscate your fields. I think they call that, in the modern terminology, eminent domain. Eminent domain is the right the ruling powers can do as they wish in terms of property and go ahead and direct it this way and that way. Okay, I'm going to get to that in a little while.
The Dvar Avraham was drafted to the Russian army.
Was that?
The Dvar Avraham was drafted into the Russian army.
That's right, that's correct. He himself, the Kovner Rav, was drafted into the Russian army. But if you have the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I don't know if I have it here.
How long was he in prison?
He protects him, he got out. But his father in law, huge father in law.
Just read to you the Gemara takes these psukim, and the Gemara has two opinions: whether kol omer the parsha melech melech mudabo, whatever is written in this parsha of a melech, so a king is allowed to do so, allowed to carry out all these items. I'll read the lashon of the Gemara and daf chaf. We're on daf chaf in the base. I mean, the Shmuel was worried what Klal Yisrael said. They said tznu lo the melech l'shofteinu, and v'hayinu gam anach l'chol agoyim. He didn't like that. But the Gemara says in, over here that he warned them that all the elements. So all the elements that I mentioned in this pasuk, that's the Gemara has a machlokes in terms of what a king is capable of doing. And it's okay whether Melech is mechuyev to do, kolom in Pashas Melech, Melech mutarba, or. And the whole arichus that the Gemara has regarding this. But here you see a series of psukim, and the psukim are pretty draconian in terms of what a king is capable of doing. So, based on this Rashbam, the Rashbam says that once the citizenry accept upon themselves the the rule of a melech, so then automatically, contractually, there's a kind of itchaibut that they're obligated to carry it out. Now, as I said, many Rishonim quote this Gemara in Sanhedrin. I didn't actually bring it over here, but it's this is very well known. Either Melech Mutarbo, or as I said, this is what the dictates of the Melech are based on that. And it mentions in that Pasha taxes. It mentions drafting the army, conscription, taking your daughters, all kinds of things. Unbelievable. Very autocratic kind of approach that the Navi speaks about. So here, the Dvar Avraham, you can see it also in that little heart on the bottom, he claims that this is based on, this is based on the principle of Hefke Bezen Hefke. That's his contention. Dina Machus Hedina is founded upon Hefke Bezen Hefke. Just like Bezen has Samchut, indeed in Mominus, they can transfer property from one person to another. Gemara learns that from Sukkim. Sukkim in Ezra, Sukkim elsewhere. So too, a king has Samchut, Dina Mominus. He has the same kind of Samchut. That's what the Rashbam seems to suggest over here. And that's a famous Rashbam. Now, there's a Ran, which is relevant to us on page number 2. This is the famous Ran that everyone here who wants to justify engaging in all kinds of skullduggery called this rab.
And
this
is.
No, no, the Dvar Avraham. Dvar Avraham. He's the one who understands it's based on Hefker, based on Hefker. But look at the Ran over here. This is the most famous Ran in the Dorim, I suspect. Maybe the most infamous Ran in the Dorim, but certainly the most famous in many respects. So here, he writes, when the Gemara says here, qualifies the Din of Dima Chusadina only applies to, number one, a Moches, a tax collector who's appointed by the government. And here the Gemara says, Kasha and the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah, Nodrin, the Mishnah said, Nodrin, Harogin, Lecharam, and Lemochsin. You want to take a nether that something is truma, so they shouldn't take it away from you. By the way, I never met such a bunch of frum ganov in my entire life. They're worried about truma. Amazing. Just absolutely amazing. I never can get past this Mishnah. I can get past it psychologically. Okay, but Bekitzor, last week in the Tanakh Shir that I give, so we came across the Achav. Achav is Ovid Avodah Zarah, and this Ben-Hadad fellow, the king, the non-Jewish king, comes to basically to Achav and tells him, all your nechassim are mine, all your possessions are mine. We saw in Perek Chaf Aleph there, Melachim Aleph. And so that he says, everything's fine, everything is yours, I'm a vassal state, I am essentially total obeisance to you, total subservience to you. And then a moment later he says, I also want to add to this, machmari necha. What machmari necha is, machlogis, but the Chazal say, refers to, he wanted to take the Sefer Torah away from Klal Yisrael. Machmari necha. Machmari necha in Tanakh refers to either the Navi Yecheskel has Machmari Necha. When he became an Avil, his wife was taken away. Hashem told him, don't practice Avilut. Everyone else to practice, but you not. That's a Perech HaChavosh Alecha, famous Gemara in Ma'ikot, and also in Brachis. It's quoted by the Rishonim. But here, Machmari Necha, there refers to his wife. Here refers to the Torah. Rashi, Radak, all the Rishonim bring that down. So we don't understand. We're startled, astounded. The Ralbag already points this out. This guy's wallowing in Avodah Zarah. And all of a sudden, he's holding on to the Sefer Torah for dear life. So this is a phenomena. It's not an unusual phenomena. People have all kinds of, you want to call it, shigyonot, I don't know, call it whatever you like. That this is a shigyon in a good way, namely that somehow he's connected still to the Sefer Torah. He is over the Avodah Zarah, wallowing in idolatry, mired in idolatry. And yeah, when it comes to Sefer Torah, all of a sudden, okay, so now here we have Frum Goyim. By the way, I have another. Okay, I'm just getting off the topic. But anyway, another right to this is the Korach Va'adoso. Korach Va'adoso. Ishto. Ishto Silasa, the Ron Sanhedrin. She uncovered her hair. So they ran for their lives. I don't get it. The rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, they don't accept his manigut, etc., etc. What? What was that?
There's a frumkeit,
whatever. Okay, a frumkeit, yeah. That's it. We call it actually in other Yiddish words, a krumkeit. Okay, but it's good. At least it's got some krumkeit. Baruch Hashem. So there are a lot of people with a lot of krumkeit going around. This is one of my favorite topics here.
My favorite topic, as you know, is Lo HaKov HaKoveya, V'lo HaMiyul Moyul, V'afilu L'tayi Shezakan.
Okay, so that's what I've seen in my life in the last fair number of years. Anyway, Bekitzur, back here. So this issue regarding Dinah Mechusadina, as I said, the Ran in the Dorm comes up, and here's what he says. You can see it either on the Tzirach Sheet or on the Gemara itself. The Gemara says that, okay, there's a Dinah Mechusadina concept, unless it's Moche Shein Lo Kitzvah or Moche Zayman Beilav. Self-appointed. A guy appoints himself as the local potentate, whatever it is. Or Moche Shein Lo Kitzvah means that basically there are no rules. There are absolutely no rules. Everything is helter-skelter. Look in the Ran. So the Ran writes, he says, this is a famous Ran. Moche Shein Lo Kitzvah, it's called not Din Mahusa, but Chamsanusa the Mahusa Eno Dina. So there are people here who justify in Eretz Yisrael, they hold what the government does. The taxes that we have to pay, that's called Chamsanut. And based on that, why should I pay taxes? So I go under the table. Trust me, it's no more Chamsanut than any other democratic country in the world that I can see. It's not that they're going and telling one group of people, only you are paying taxes and no one else is paying taxes. That's not what's going on here. It's a relatively, you don't like the system, okay, I don't like the level of taxes I have to pay, but say that, we have to support the country. So this is what my Rabbeim told me my entire life, and I heard from my father my entire life. And take a look at the Ran. So the Ran says, if it's not, shall we say, a system, Mochesh Eno Kitzvah, then Labdino Hu Chamsanusa, Chamsanusa, the Mochesh Labdino. Next, Mochesh Omim Eilov, Shelo B'mitzat HaMelech. He's on his own, he appoints himself, a self-appointment. The customer says, Zavka Mimalchi Akum, Omer the Dinah Chusadino, Neshaarit Shalom, a non-Jewish king. We say Dinah Chusadino, everything is his. V'yachalomalem, and lo tasu, mitzvotai, agarish etchem in aretz. I'll banish you. Abol, Bimalchi Yisrael, lo, Levish Eretz Yisrael, call yourself Shutvimba. So therefore, no, since I'm a shutter, no one can tell me what to do. V'chi amrinon, dina machusa dina, hani mil linyan. So then he tells you, Allah ha namaise. But the important part is what the Ran said, what we just read this moment, namely, that there's a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. So people take this and extend it, that there's no dina machusa in Eretz Yisrael. That's not what the Ran says, but I have to get to this Ran separately once I begin to first delineate exactly what dina machusa dina is. That's going to take us a while. May it take us next week as well, another session of this, if you don't mind. But okay, but I'll get back to this Ran. I'm just mentioning the Ran.
Doesn't sound like a social contract, that's more like advice.
You mean Eitz HaTova?
Yeah.
Okay, good. It's not social contract. I agree. He's not based on the Rashbam and Barabbas and Nandala. Mask him, 100%. It's a different concept.
The koch to banish is what gives you the right to collect taxes?
Kach hu omer. Correct. That's what the Ran says. By the way, it's not just the Ran. I saw it also found in the Rashba as a similar kind of position. It's known as the Ran because he's the one most famous of these positions. But what's important here is that the Ran is the second position on the Dina Machusa Dina. And now I want to turn to thought more specifically and try to examine. We'll see in a moment in the Rambam. The Rambam does not have this distinction. Where did the Ran get this from? There's no mocker for this one. In the Sugis of Dina Machusa Dina, which I found several times in Shas, there's no such distinction. You look at the Rambam. We'll leave the Rambam in a moment. The Rambam disagrees. There's no distinction between Malchi Alkum, Malchi Eretz Yisrael. Absolutely not whatsoever. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Okay. At the Rambam on page, we'll look first at page number 8. Hope I Xerox this. More or less it came out, I think. Yeah, I'm not good at this. Anyway, be easier if I knew how to use a computer. But anyway, number 8. Page number 8. You see 8? Hilchot Zelav Aveda. We'll read first Halacha Yudalu. He says here, Klalo Shel Davar, Kol din shiach kol osu amelach lakol. He has to be across the board. V'lo yiyah la'adam mechad b'fnei atzmo, not for one individual or one particular group of people. Eino gezel.
Non-sectarial.
Correct. Exactly. V'chol shiyikach mi'izeh bilvad shelo kadata yidu alakol. If he decides to focus or pray on one individual or one group of people, so that is not considered to be appropriate. Ella, what's that called? Chamas, or the way the Rambam says, it seems that he's using it as a verb. Chol sheyikach miish zeh bilvad shelo kadata yidu alakol, ela chimeis ezeh. Wow, what a verb. He engaged in an act of chamas regarding that individual. Harezeh gezel. That's not considered to be. So if it's directed at one individual, something whimsical, that's called gezel. I'd give the best example to me. In my mind, the best example is Achav. Achav decided he needs the kerem of Navot HaYisraeli. Right after also Malachim Aleph. Hopefully we'll be discussing that soon.
Eminent domain.
What was that? Eminent domain, exactly. And then his wife goes ahead and she gets into the, she coaxes and goads him and directs him to doing whatever he has to do in order to get that kerem. That's clearly Chamsanusa de Malchusa in Odira. That's Gazlanusa de Malchusa. That clearly is not an act of at all. Has nothing to do with Dina Mahusa Dina, or what you call eminent domain. Now, also, take a look at Halacha Yichet, since we're at it already. On the bottom of the Ram, also, Yigzeh Vaveh, the Perakeh, Halacha Yichet. But Medva Amurim, he's talking about a king, and Yud Zayin, or Yud Tezayin, all these halachas, he says that Melach Shendiz Yigazar, Shekol Mishi Yitzin Masakatub, Ala Ish Yishtabed Bezeh, Shalonatad. All kinds of, literally, what seem to be arbitrary kind of rulings that he issues, or in the Halacha Yizayin, Melech Shekarati Lanot Shel Balabatim, Asom Yem Geshem, Utala Abor Alav, Vechenu Haras Batim, Asom Tam Derech, O Choma, Utala Yanot Ba, Din HaMelech Din, Halacha Yidchet, Pamed Ramurim B'Melech, She, he writes, there are two ways of reading this Rambam, that I had different Rabbeim, I read it differently, Melech Shemat Be'o, Yatsa Botan Aratzot, Mat Be'o, or others say, read this differently, but I think that's the correct reading. It means that we know exactly whom he is. Mitivo is the other way of reading him, but it doesn't. It's a little bit difficult. The diktok. There's a mashu pala b'seder. But lo mishane. There are different gusols here. But anyway, we know what he means. They accepted it. Okay, he uses a strong lashon. And lo avadim means they are subjected. They're his vassals, if you will. They're obviously under his rulership, under his kingship. Aval imein mat beol yotzei or emitivol yotzei harei kegazan bal zruah kmo chaburat listen mamzionim. He's just a bunch of bandits, mafioso characters, pirates, etc., etc. Shein dinam din, v'chein melech zeh, v'chal avadu kigazan l'chol dover. So, essentially, the Rambam, as I said, number one, does not distinguish like the Ran between Malchu Yisrael and Malchu Masa'olam. But the rule of thumb is, as the Ram laid it down over here, has to be something objective. And if it's objective, then the halacha is dinam achus adina is applicable. Now, next I want to go on now and discuss more specifically regarding the taxes. Yeah.
The role of the Matbea is...
Okay, we'll have to get to that. Okay. That's a separate... I'm going to discuss that separately. So now, in page four, there's a Mishnah Baba Kama, Kufi Gimel. It's a famous Mishnah also. I'm not going to read the whole thing, otherwise I'll be here and won't be able to get through what I want to do today. Anyway, the question is, are you obligated to pay a tax that's levied upon you? So the Mishnah has a number of... I'll read the Mishnah first. Ein portim lo mitevat habochsin lo mikishul gaboyim. You want to... you need small change. That's the lashon of portim. So what do? You say, I'll get small change. Where will I get it from? The tevat habochsin. They got plenty of money, these tax collectors. So I'm sure they have small change as well. Let me go ahead and... I need small change. You're not allowed to do that. Lo mikishul gaboyim. Or from the box of the tax collector... Or from the kiss of the gabbai, it means you don't, yeah, just like you don't take tzedakah for them as well. And what's the issue? Because we assume that they're gazonim. All the money that they have was essentially gotten through thievery. They know the mem tzedakah. However, from their own private box or from their home, that you can take, you can go ahead and take small change, that we don't assume is gezel. I mean, that which they do with the public coffers that they claim to be involved in, that you're not allowed to take from. So the Gemara right away goes on. The Gemara says, Tana, Abonosin lo dino, Abonosin lo sashar. So the Gemara says, Kashi umochsin, why is it gezel? Why don't we apply that? Why do we assume that automatically is gezel? Their tevat hamochsim, their, that which they use to collect, why don't we say, dino machusadino? So the Gemara says, Amrav chinin, Rav kana, b'mochshin lo kitzel, like we just saw in the Dharam. Means the fellow who, there are no rules. It's completely, it's arbitrary, whim, caprice, that's how he operates. So again, the similar to what we just saw a moment ago. A self-appointed collector, or something along those lines. Now the Gemara has another teretz, Tika the Misti Laha, Aho. There's another din, which is also relevant. This is line number four. Lo Yilbash Adam Kalayim. There's a famous Mishnah in Kalayim. The Mishnah says that you can't wear Kalayim. I want to exempt myself from paying taxes. And apparently they would only tax, they would tax clothing, but not if I'm wearing it. So people would put on many, many articles of clothing in order to avoid paying taxes. And the Gemara is a machlokas now. I'm not reading the whole thing, but you can read next few lines. That's why I'm doing it. I want to avoid paying taxes. The Tanya, here's a machlokas tanoim, whether you're allowed muta lahabriach tameches or also lahabriach tameches. Am I allowed to avoid paying taxes? I'm not allowed to avoid paying taxes. Gemara b'kiva shita is the tanya also labriach tameches. Rav Shimon Omer Shimon b'kiva mutl labriach tameches. Gemara says bishlam leini kalayim. We understand when it comes to kalayim. The Gemara says there it makes sense because what's the issue there? Ma'asav adavishin is kavin muta. Ma'asav adavishin is kavin also means in the isur kalayim. Correct. My intention wearing the kalayim is not to derive benefit. Aloch is you can't be nene from kalayim. There are two parshas of kalayim. What is isur levisha? And what is isur halo? Beg the kalayim shat is loyal alecha. Rav Lichtenstein told me when he would travel on the trains in New York City, which he did, so the old trains had this, I don't know if maybe Rabbi Asker, you remember, had this material which was a kind of, it was interwoven, a kind of twine texture. I'm talking about the old trains. On the seat. He did not sit on that seat. He had a shayla of Begat Shikalayim Shatnes Lo Yad Olecha, shayla of Halo, maybe we'll against his clothing, will somehow wrinkle up and be mit kapel, kach shamati bipiv kotcho. He was just out of the box from every standpoint. Here, Rabbi Baum. Here, this is Baum Lichtenstein.
That was the stipler about his first stipler, right?
That's correct. They say the same thing about the stipler as well. Also, he was machmir. Took out the system. He had the system chazan ish. Also, same kind of peda. He also had regarding the issue of halal. They said, Abchaimeza, that's where it comes from. The old trains, they all had this twine. I don't know, you know, they had this game that kids play in camp. I think I played it many years ago where you, Lego, not, I keep thinking of Lego, no, you put these,
Lanyard.
What?
Lanyard.
Lanyard, correct, that's right. Do you know that game? You know what I'm talking about? never play games anyway. But the but there's this material that you put together. So that's what it was like. That those I remember those 55, 60 years ago. Those kind of material that they were sitting on the trains. Okay, so he was mocking around that. So here the Gemara said that Isur Kalayim, Isur Levisha, Isur Aloh, Isur Hanoh. But to escape paying taxes, so it depends on the shalat. Whether she was kavod or not, that's Gemara said. That's the issue. Gemara said, "El habriches amechem mishori." How do you allow to be mabriach meches? Omar Shmuel dina b'chusadina. Again, the Gemara comes again. Meches shein lo kitzva. What the Gemara says, meches amim ve'elav. And then the Gemara quotes our Mishnah. Quotes our Mishnah in the Dorim. By the way, Rashi here. I want to just comment on the Rashi. Rashi says, "Adina b'chusadina." Look how Rashi here presents it. However, she ain't no kitzva, no till the whole chetzo, that's a gazlan. Me'elav, shalom eita melech, after yesho kitzva. And then Rashi, afterwards, dinam ahusadinam. Says Rashi, what is that? V'nimsa shegozel tamoches Yisrael. Yisrael zeh shekibla samechet ver amelech nochi beheter. Rashi says, we're talking about a Jew. Rashi learns, we're talking about a Jew who purchased the schut to collect taxes from the melech. And the melech was a goy. And then the Gemara goes further. When the Gemara says here, I'm reading now a bit further. When the Gemara said, well, we just read a few moments ago, Yikud the Masri Laha, it quotes this mission in the Dorm. It means the mission is talking about, I'm taking a neder where I'm an onis, which a gang of robbers want to take my property. So I take a neder, swearing the property is truma, as I mentioned, from Ganovim, and therefore I can take such a neder. Or it's the property of the king. You're allowed to take this neder. The neder, again, the question is neder chal, neder not chal. The Gemara in the Dorim explained, on Chavches, we're talking about konim kol peret alai, main tvua zu shel beit hamelech. It means all the fruits in the world should be usher to me if this property doesn't belong to the king. That's the sugi here on Daf Chavches that the Gemara mentioned. So that neder is not valid. And you're allowed to eat all the fruits in the world. That's called, the Gemara calls it here, nidrei onsin. That's a neder that's taken under one. So now basically what we see from this sugi and Baba Kama here and Daf Kofi Gimel is that means here the neder is only be taken to prevent the loss. So one of the, as I said, taking a neder to avoid paying taxes. The Gemara says here, Dina Machusa Dina, he has the right to take taxes. And the answer is an illegitimate tax collector, like we said till now. But if the tax collector is a goy, so here what Rashi says, that Rashi calls him Mocheshu Knani Anas. So look at the Lashon Rashi here on the bottom. Rashi said, talking about a Knani Anas, and you don't have to pay the tax till now. We assume the collector was a Jew. I'm just more or less summarizing the Gemara over here at the end. And the Ravashi was the one who says the tax collector is a goy, and Mutar Labrechat HaMeches. And the Gemara goes on, quotes a Braisa, the last five, six lines in the here in the Gemara, you see where it says Ravashi Omar, the Mochis Knani, the Tanya Yisrael Knani Anas. The Gemara here is saying that the Gemara quotes a brisa that a Jew and a non-Jew come to a din and come to court, and the guy claims that the Jew has chayv him money, and so if you can pat yourself b'dini Yisrael b'dini Atar, you should do so. If not, you should try to be Mezakehim al pi chukei akim. Tell him that's the din of the goyishe world as well. Otherwise, it says boy malav akifim. So Rashi explains over here. Rashi says boy malav akifim. Bottom line, bechokma at shepotin aside Yisrael. You have to use all kinds of wisdom, chicanery, in order to patter the Jew. But the Gemara goes on to say, Abikiba says that you can't do this. Why? Because kiddush Hashem. That you can't exempt the Jew using these strategies because of Chilul Hashem. That's the bottom line here of the Gemara. And basically, the Gemara says, and that's the Gemara's Medai. Time, I'm going too fast, I know. Time of the Kiddush Hashem. The Gemara said, the reason because it's a Chilul Hashem issue. Oleg Kiddush Hashem. The Gemara said, but if there would not be an issue of Kiddush Hashem, then the Gemara says, by not paying the money, you owe the goy, you're stealing from the goy. That's us. By the way, Gezel Akam is us. That's how we pass in the Alocha. That's also Gemara Baba Kama. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Gezel Akam is us. We'll see in a moment the distinction. What was that?
As opposed to
Tos. Yeah, I'm not talking about Tos Akam. Gezel Akam. Outright stealing from a goy is also. And we'll talk about in a second the issue that Gemara goes on to discuss. It's, even though the tax collector was appointed by the king, and it's a Moche Sheish Wakitzva, there's a Chov, but the Gemara says what is permissible, and that's what Gemara discusses. The next page, I underlined it on page number 5. I'm skipping all this other little piece. It's not relevant.
What's the conclusion, Kafkas?
I'm coming to that, page number 5. That's a famous distinction that the Gemara draws. It means not paying the chob is permissible unless it's a chilul Hashem. If there's a chilul Hashem, even that is not permissible, hafkat halva. However, if there's no chilul Hashem, then you can engage in hafkat halva. We're talking about a moches, sheish bo kitzvah, it's hafkat halva, it's mutter, there's no chilul Hashem. It's basically the goy is collecting the tax, he bought the rights from the king, and the Gemara says, hafkat halva to mutar. But again, hafkat halva to is just avoiding paying the tax, not where you engage in every other kind of duplicity or lying or any other kind of, that's definitely not permissible. It's also
behechlet. Even what's the difference between
Maisa? One second, I'm coming. Let me give me a chance. On page number six, here I have the halacha lemaisa of this whole discussion. Here, the Rambam says in halacha tet, he says, "Bnei Adam shecheskatan gazlanim." The cheskat kol mamona min hagezel. Ne shemalachtem gazlanut. Kona mochsim ba'listim. Also lehanda mehem. You can't derive any benefit from these people. She cheskat b'lacha zu shu gazul. And what he called the Mishnah on Kufi Gimel, in Tzarfen din melate b'shalem shakol b'cheskat gzelut. That's here. Now look in page 7 now. Next page. See another halacha. Ram now qualifies this din. Bamed v'am urim. Says the Rambam, when do we say shamochis galistim? Bizman shamoches goy, or moches haomim neilav, or moches haomim machmas hamelach ein lo kitzva. Means either he's a non-Jew, or he's someone who's illegitimately collecting tax because he's a moches haomim neilav, moches haomim machmas hamelach ein lo kitzva. Ela lokech mashiyirtzah, minyach mashiyirtzah. He does everything capriciously, whimsically, without any system whatsoever. Avu meches shepasku hamelach viomar shei lokach shlish or via or davar katzuv. You have a king who has apparently rules and regulations. One third, one fourth, or whatever the specific amount is. And now there's a Jew who's given the role of collecting taxes. That's the Dina Machusa Dina. Everything here is in order. And it's not considered to be, the Ram goes on at the end. And the last part of the Rambam that he says, "V'lo od," he says, "Eloshu over hamavriach mimechazem nishu gozel not hamelach. Ben shu hamelach goy, ben shu hamelach yisrael." Doesn't make a difference if the king is a Jewish king or the king is a non-Jewish king. If the we're talking about someone who doesn't pay taxes, who's obligated to pay taxes, so we're talking about an honest, trustworthy person, an agent of the king with a clear mandate, is not a gozel. I mean, again, here he, as I said, here he's talking about, and he's pretty clear, as he writes, we know that Moches Yisrael, okay, you're asking, is there such a thing as an honest God? Is that what you're asking? Well,
So
why not? Why not?
So why does the Rambam say, is Masha Moches God?
Okay, you're saying he should have said, okay.
The other categories, it's the category.
No. Okay, but one thing is that could be. You know, this is not. I didn't use the Frankel Rambam. Okay, we have to look at the Frankel Rambam to see what he says. But one thing is clear. It's clear that there's a concept called stealing from the government. So you're asking about a moches goy according to the Rambam. That's a valid question, and we have to see. Maybe I'll take a look between that and the Frankel. What he said, but secondly, in the Rambam, the Rambam is difficult because of the Gemara that we just read. We just read the Gemara Ravashi. That Gemara says here, Moches Kanani, that you don't have to pay the meches, and you can be mavriach the meches. As the Gemara calls hafkar talvo. Hafkar talvo means not paying back the chov of the goy. And the Rambam holds gezel would be osa. Gezel Kanani is osa. Like, that's very clear. The Rambam Shita is like that. Gezel Kanani is osa. Min haTorah. And but according to Ram, hafkat halvos is permissible if there won't be chilul Hashem. So here the Kesem Mishnah, actually, I think he asked you a kasha. One second, I'm looking now in the Kesem Mishnah, Rabbi Yasger. In the Kesem Mishnah, yes, take a look in the Kesem Mishnah on page number 7. Look on the Kesem Mishnah, page number 7. I actually underlined it. You see there on the underlined section, kan bigzelo, kan behafkat halvos. It's quoted in the Gemara. Upirish Rashi, hafkat halvos. She ain't gozel mamish shari. That's the basic position of the Rambam. Gezel Akam is Asur. And the Rambam says, Hafkat Halvasur was only permissible if there's no Chilul Hashem involved.
What's the mechanism of
Hafkat Halvasur? What was that?
What's the mechanism of Hafkat Halvasur?
Passive. Sheval Tassa.
What does that mean? So what
you don't pay back the chov, period. You have a chov.
What did you have?
An outstanding debt, you don't pay it back. You didn't well, do any, you didn't do any action. There's no ma'aseh gzeila. You're not involved in any ma'aseh gzeila.
Regular taxes, what's okay, the case
no. Regular taxes, again, you don't pay a tax, you're stealing from the government. The government tells you you're chayiv to pay tax. That's not halva. That's a chov. Chov gomor. You don't pay the ma'aseh hachnasa. You don't pay the IRS, whomever organization is involved, you're a gazel.
And of course, also
it's not the same. Case. That's what we ask. He's trying to ask.
Yeah, there's a chiluk.
No, the chiluk is, I agree, it's a nuanced distinction, but I think there is a distinction between an obligation that you have as opposed to, now you say, a chov is also an obligation. Pirom chov mitzvah, the Gemara says in Ksubis, you have to pay back a chov. But there's a distinction. One is a government imposes upon you an obligation, which is part of your citizenry obligation. Mashen Kane, a private chov that you borrowed money from someone, I'm talking about in this case a goy, a non-Jew, so then Havkoa Talva, but yet it is a Chil Hashem, which to me, I don't see that it cannot be a Chil Hashem. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand, I don't think this has any halacha l'maisa relevance at all.
What do you mean? If it's not known, if it's not coming out, it's not no light to it. No,
you borrow $10,000 from a guy and you don't pay it back. You don't think it's going to come out?
No.
Wow, you are living in a different world than I am. But okay, whatever you say.
It depends on the circumstances. You have a good tax accountant, and he somehow fixes all your debt.
But only if he does it legally. My brother was an accountant. He was audited by the IRS tens of times and won every case because he was also a tax lawyer. He knew the entire penal tax code of the United States by heart. And he used to get them at the... I went to an audit that he was at, four IRS people, and they're questioning him. He says he had a client, what's his name? Harry Belafonte, multimillionaire guy, and he saved them hundreds of thousands of dollars because my brother knew the tax code by heart. By heart, every duke, like you know duke in the Rambam, he knew duke in the tax code and the tax and the county. He was at that kind of a head. I was present there for 2 hours. They tried to... He basically, as the Rebbe used to say, he did it nicely. He fashmented them. They were amaratzim. They just didn't know the tax code. And then I said, as well as he did. That's how he got them. He saved his client's money. But it was all legal. He wouldn't do anything illegal. Why would he do anything illegal? Chas v'shalom. That's not what accountants are for. Accountants are to help you, unquestionably, but do it legally, not illegally, God forbid. And I don't see how this can't be a Chilul Hashem. With all due respect, I don't know, maybe you're in a different world than I am. Okay, but anyway, he says here, the Kesef Mishnah, on this Kesef Mishnah, B'Shem Yesh Lomar, you see what I'm reading? Should I read it a bit further there? Should I read it again? Pirush Rashi, I'm reading Kesef Mishnah, on the underlined it. Of course, I'll also shen goes on my Mishari, kilek a Chilul Hashem, don't hecha the ton, the satich of the Avicha, the mes, the other goy, the Mishakir. Okay, maybe you're talking about something like that. Somehow he's able to, maybe that's what you're referring to. Okay. Will Habriach Meches have a Kafkat of also? Vash to him, Dabrachim Meches, Lavi Kafkat of also, and I also Labriach Meches Melech Goy, Vishem Yeshoma, the Ocha Shiny. Look, he's trying to, I think, he's asking your Kasha. So he's saying, Shehemin Melech Yisrael, Ligva Lo Chelko. Dabi Kilo Amelech Hatzma Goveyu. He said, you have to pay the tax to the Jewish agent, because taxes to the king, because, he's not collecting from this individual. I mean, there might be Chil Hashem. They found out. That'll be, he writes further, Shim Yivoda, Yishchil Hashem Bedavar, Efshu Sheyes, Akanat HaFashot Bedavar. Abo Goy, Shem Ochar HaMechez Men HaMelech, Shozim Yivoda, Lo Yeh Bedavar, Sakanat HaFashot, Meach Shein HaMelech Masi Bezeh, Hu Shamor, Shemut Labrich Men HaMechez, Davi Kavkot HaBoso. Means in one case, you might be endangering, he says, the life of the Jewish agent. You might be put to death. You're saying it couldn't happen today.
It's,
I think he'd be thrown in jail, minimally, he'd be thrown in jail, in my mind. But the only time you can't be a Mavriach HaMeser, if the agent is Jewish, you're endangering his life, then you have to pay the taxes. But Goy, he says at the end, Goy, Shemachar HaMeches,
Shechakar
HaMeches Ben HaMelech,
he farmed out. The king got his money ready.
But saying that, he already paid the king, correct.
So now it's a question of paying the guy.
It's a question of paying the guy. Then, of course, Havas is Mutter.
And that's, of course, Havas
is Mutter. That's what he says, right.
I'm good.
Good. That's what Kesef Mishnah is saying. Kesef Mishnah is saying that Piron meches to a country which is not Jewish. So even to use the din of avkos al vaso, only if the sochein or the moches is Jewish, then it's also because you put his life in sakana. But the actual meches or who's coming to a melech goy, here we say avkos al vaso is muta. Okay, so he tries to define it a bit more precisely. He's machalik between these two situations.
It's the opposite of the run in some ways.
In some ways it is. But
it's more of a pula.
Yeah, it is. But look in the Mishnah Melech here on the bottom of the page. He also was also focused on the same kasha. So he doesn't like this. He calls the kasha Mishnah, B'li Hedjot, and he doesn't like it. He says, I'll read, you see the Mishnah Melech on the bottom? Where it says, Yalmash katar rabbeinu, avu meches she paskar melech, katar maran, because the Mishnah, he's not happy with this Pesach Mishnah. Mishum Yisrael also be Gemara. Bekevin the Avracham and Hamecha the Havi El Kafka Talvaso. Amayosel Avracham and Hamecha Melach Goy. B'shem Yeshomer. Just quote the Pesach Mishnah's teretz. V'li Hedjod Nireh Delo Kashemidi. Avlofi Shitosi Shitosei Ein Daiti Nocha B'Tirutzo. Shechala Shetelo Adar B'Sakon Nefashos. Mashal Kosi Rabbeinu. Where do you get the Sakon Nefashos from? The Rambam doesn't say a word about Sakon Nefashos. That he inserts into the Rambam and it's not there. That's what the Mishnah Melech is bothered by, this Kesem Mishnah. I mean, what does it have to do with the Sakon Nefashos? What does it have to do with, he says, Neshu Gozlam, not Tamelech. That's the Lashon Rambam, because you're engaged in thievery. Now the Rambam says you're stealing from the king. So the question of the Kesem Mishnah, you're not stealing from the king. You're just not paying back the Chov. And Akras Halva is Mutabakum. That's what the Kesem Mishnah said. But he writes himself, I'm reading the second line. He said that when Ravashi said that Mavriach Meches is permissible, but Torah Kos Halvaso, what are we talking about? Who's so bad? The Ma'im Ukir Ravashi, B'moches Goy, Hali Inin Shehi Chashuv Gazlon, Shafil B'moches Sheesh Lo Kitzva, Sheomer Rav Hu Goy, Notel Ma Sherotze, Umaisi Aloha Haidi Yisrael B'Goy Shebo Ledin Lomar, Yavu Gavda Ma Sheesh Kitzva, Dinamo Husa Hu, So that's what I wanted to say earlier.
So it really depends, since there's no goy is going to be kosher in the collection agency.
And those, if the goy is an agent of the king, and the taxes go to the king, to the government, then dina machus adina, hafkos halvaso is awesome.
It's done directly.
Correct.
Like today.
He's mechaler between a king who sells the right to collect taxes to an individual, then hafkos halvaso is mutar, mashenk, in the other case that you just mentioned, that would be usher. If the guy is an agent of the king, the taxes go to the king, to the government, he says here, dina machus adina, hafkos halvaso is usher. Means according to Kesem Mishneh, dina machus adina means a king can impose a chov. It's like any other chov that a guy has the right to collect. You're not obligated to pay because, of course, halvaso mutar. That's what the Kesem Mishnah writes. But the Mishnah Melech makes the distinction between, as you said, between an individual and the situation of the Melech. According to the Mishnah Melech, not only does the Dina Machus Adina give the right to levy the tax, it obligates you to pay. And we don't apply the rule of Havkos halvaso mutar. Because according to the Kesem Mishnah, you apply Havkos halvaso to taxes as long as there's no chil Hashem. If there's no chil Hashem, then you don't have to pay taxes. According to Mishnah Melech, he says, no, it's only muta by a regular chov. But a chov created through dina, machus adina, the king has the right to levy the tax. You have an obligation to pay. There's no principle, of course, of us. So that's what I said before, which is based on the Mishnah Melech. I think there's a distinction. You don't like the distinction, okay? Man yechol asot. That's what he says. Otherwise, but the whole pshat of Kesem Mishnah, sakana defashis, we're meiva. That doesn't at all even intimate or allude to anything of that sort. There's a Shulchan Aruch HaRav I saw on page number, what are we holding here? Number 11. I don't know if you can see the page numbers. There's sort of everything's in Hilchot Gzeila Geneva. I see the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that he said Dina Machus Adina to levy the taxes only applies to the king and not to the person who purchases the right to collect the taxes and put the money in his pocket, because of what you said, Rabbi Yudis, because he already paid for it. The money was already given. So he claims
he's not losing out whether they gave exactly the money or not.
I mean, let's say a person would borrow money privately from the king. I would borrow money privately from the melech, a goy, then you'd apply the din of Hakras Halvasa Mutar. But now when the king as a government levies a tax on his subjects, you have the distinction. Then you have to pay the tax. That's the Shalach HaRav here, right? Salach in Chashem Ishba. Someone asked me, because there's a tumult in the United States. Now, I don't really know with Biden, the pardon all the student loans. I don't know exactly what he did over there. Someone here is involved with a lot of student loans from the U.S. I'm talking about tens of thousands of dollars. He went to medical school, all kinds of loans. He told me it's $250,000. Is that possible? It probably is possible. So now the question is, do you say the Svara? So he wanted to apply the Svara of Hafkas Halva, that he's not obligated to pay back those $250,000. So I said, and he told me he doesn't think there's any possibility of Chilul Hashem. He's one in tens of millions of people. I mean, he wants to pardon, he told me, President Biden, across the board, something like that. I'm not sure. We're talking about billions of dollars. So he says, who am I? I'm just a cipher here. And there's no Chilul Hashem. They won't know who I am. So he asked me, is it mutter? Well, I thought Dina Mahus Adina applies to student loans. I don't see the issue. I'm not a poseg. You have to ask a big poseg.
I don't understand the shadow that even if the president is
no, but he's not so.
He still wants to pay that.
No. Yeah, the president, first of all, what the president wants to do has not been, readily accepted by the Congress or whoever is involved in this at all. So he wants to do his own thing, and right now it's not being accepted. So now I'm asking, given that situation, if, of course, there's a pardon, obviously, Tavol Kulonu Bracha, those who have student loans. But he's asking me, student loan, does Dina Machus Dina apply the student loan? I said, why not? It's like the Mishnah Melech to me. That's what I told him. I told him about this Mishnah Melech a long time ago.
I don't know the mitzvahs, but the banks that gave the money are going to get paid by the government. That's the issue?
Some of them are direct from the government, some of them are not.
I don't know. I can't.
His question is only to Chilul Hashem because he lives here and he's not afraid he's going to attach anything.
That's what he told me. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. And now he's a doctor here. And they're going to catch him. What kind of logic is that?
I was ordered by the IRS.
Long arm of the IRS.
I was ordered by the IRS. They came all the way here, not a problem.
I don't see any distinction. National, federal, state government, local government, all to me, it's all Dina Machus Adina. A recognized governing body, a municipality, is sufficient to have Dina Machus Adina. That's what I told him. And I think what he's doing, I said, is absolute. First of all, then I gave him some Musa. You start your life out this kind of way. Trust me, you're not going to be an honest person the rest of your life in every other area. It's a midron chalaklak, a very slippery slope. Okay, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch on page 9, so here we have, it's a little bit before this, in Shulchan Aruch in page 9, which is after page 8, obviously. So here, it's hard to, I'm sorry, I got to put the page numbers in a different place. You can see it. The Shulchan Aruch. I underline everything. In Vav. You see what Vav? So there's a Rambam here. He's just quoting basically, he restates the Rambam. On page number 9. He writes here, he's an honest guy. That's the issue, not Sakhar Tafashis. Next page. In Yisrael, so the Ramah here, he has a comment. The afilia dua, the be Israel, no kim yoter min akitzva. Hear this? Where Jews are paying a higher taxes. We're paying more than the non-Jewish world. What does he say? The Ramah? It's considered to be valid. Mikoma gum asa. Why? Because he holds, as long as he doesn't single out an individual. If you would single out one individual, that would be a violation. That's Chamnusa, Mahusa, and Adina.
Not, it's not story, but all Jews is not thinking out.
Correct, that's what he says. Well, that's quite a Kiddush, this Ramah. But the Ramah says that. Yeah, I mean, he goes further. Look in the last three lines. He writes over here, Amochis Yisrael, Imlo Kono, the Atzma, Vago, the Melech, Albi Dosal, Abriach, Mechaz, Nimach, Zedina. Okay, but anyway, that's his Chiddush. But he writes here clearly, the Ramah, if a person, he calls him a Gozel, a Gazel, the Osir, he basically says, you don't pay a tax to the king, you're a Gazel. And it's Osir in the Torah. You're stealing from the king. That's Isidore Isa. That's how the Ramah here writes. And this is the agent collecting for the king. On page number 10, which is right over here, he says, let's say a guy bought the right to the taxes. Then it's mutter not to pay, because of course Salvoso is mutter if there's no Chilul Hashem. But if the guy is acting as the agent for the king, collecting for him, you don't say of course Salvoso mutter. You're over on Gezel. That's called Gezel. I mean, it's similar to the interpretation of the Mishnah Melech. I think it's come out the same, what the Ramah writes here, to that which the Mishnah Melech actually suggested. It's interesting that here, I don't know if you can see it, it's not so clear, I'm sorry, because the Ramah has in the Yesh Omrim, which is the last three lines of this Ramah.
Yeah, there's a pet, in New York City, the Hotzal Hapoel is farmed out to private enterprises. They buy the, if you don't pay your parking tickets, they take your car.
Ah, okay, I understand.
So those Gazlanim are criminals that they bought the right to steal someone's car legally.
Wow.
Can you be mavriach yourself? Can you just avoid not paying? Can you take your car away? That's the same question.
Yeah, that's the issue. But that's what the Ramah says here. He says, "Im kno akum muta mishum dahavi kafkas halvasa d'shoy b'makom dalak chilul Hashem." He's a guy buys the right to the taxes. Then it's muta not to pay because kafkas halvasa is muta if there's no chilul Hashem. But again, if he's acting as the agent to the king, so then he's collecting for the king. You don't say that. They're over on those things though. It's a lava of gezel. That's what Ramah says. Now it's interesting that the Ramah in this last three lines he writes here v'yashomim. The afilu hamoches Yisrael im lo kino la'atzma ragobu lemelech. The moches is a Jew, and he didn't purchase this right for himself. He's collecting on behalf of the king. Avagav the osel abriach hameches dinam achus adinam mikol mekom imadam abriach ein the moches lochuf also litein. Davi kavkos havoso neshori miu im yesh bezeh mishum. He writes some sort of yira lamelech bevada yochol lochuf oto. Means if you avoid paying the tax collector. It means the tax collector is not forcing you to pay. Because Havkos Halvoso, with the Jews, the agent of the king, then you apply Havkos Halvoso. It's not so posh. There's a gon on the bottom here in the Bira Groi, so he asks, Avlin Gobel HaMelech Shari, if the Jew is an agent for the king, you don't have to pay, because Havkos Halvoso is mut. I mean, you see both the Ramon and the Groi have some sort of a shita. If the taxes are being directly collected for the king, so then Havkos Halvoso is mut. There seems to be a machlokas here between the Mechaber on the one side, Ramon the Gua. Ramon the Gua is saying, even by a tax of Dima Chusadina, the king has a right to collect. You don't have obligation to pay unless there'll be a Chilul Hashem. That seems the what emerges from the Ramon. Also, the Gaon seems to say that also. Now, just one or two more things I wanted to show you here. So I saw in this matter as well, on page number 11, which is also the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So he has a tremendous insights. I don't know if you ever use the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. I started lately using it. Because someone gave me a matana, gave me the whole set. So told him I'll use it. So I now start looking at it. So here he writes, when he discusses this din of I'll read it slowly, as slowly as I can. It says, V'chol zeh shamochis u'gazon b'mochis nochri, afil Yisrael, el ad sh'omah me'ilov, shalom machim na'melach, afil machim na'melach, ha'she'en lo kitzva, he's saying the Rambam. Avol mechesh shepasuk ato haMelech itad avol kotzer. That's the Rambam. Ve'emid moches Yisrael the gvot on the Melech. Ve'nod hashel mizeh nema ve'mosu klu ma'ashigaz haMelech in v'cheses gaza. L'fi shadin haMalchus din. Now look how he explains it. V'mnei shekol haaretz laMelechu. Remember the Ran. So how does he explain it? Everything belongs to him, to the king. U'biyado ligzar shelo yene adam me'artzo elamidaito. Wow. Where did he get this from? I mean, essentially he's saying that, I remember during the medieval period, there were noblemen who controlled different districts, different areas. They were the, like
they
a fiefdom.
They wanted their life from the king.
Okay, exactly. So in his city or in his area, in his district, so there you say, Dina Machos Adina. If you don't pay taxes to that particular...
Pirates.
The pirates, exactly. That's Mamish, the issue of the pirates. But his definition is fascinating. He says, Shenene, his stipulation is, you can't live in my neighborhood, so to speak, without paying taxes. That's what he writes here. She'itin kitzvasa b'chein hasar b'ayarot shalo. That's what we're talking about now. O shalamelech. Lefikach ha-mabriach me-meches over al-otizo neshu gozat ha-melech. Ben shu melech iso ben melech nochri. U-mechasu ha-mamon sh'arei yochel limkor hanozu shalmasu ha-matam b'yaratolish. He could sell this right. And therefore you are engaged in an act of gezel. Means the king could sell, or the noble, the aristocrat, whatever it may be, he could have sold this tax to somebody else. So it sounds like he's talking about, you know what it sounds like to me? Income tax. But it's like a kind of business tax. It means they sell rights to a certain business. Let's say Jews who made liquor in the Middle Ages. That's how they made the money, by selling liquor. And they had to pay a tax on it. So that's a svara. So basically he's saying that, and he goes on further. He says, V'yir shamelech musugu v'mashem igol v'mavadov hol v'skimel lo v'neil so'or v'selam chadayt shu adunayim v'mavadov lo chashel v'mashuv l'avadoso kol ha'schor sh'magiyah v'men ha'mech v'mishuvet l'amelech l'yitro v'men ha'mechaz k'ilu v'shus v'mamish k'ev v'shivarat. So wow, this is the lengthiest exposition that I saw on the whole topic. I mean, rationale. He has a kind of lien on your property, and that lien is stronger than any other lien. It's a shibud. So by using my property, if I don't pay taxes, so then I'm stealing from the melech. And as I said, that's what I saw also on look on page 12 in the Dvar Avram. It was, I just xeroxed different parts of the tshuva that are relevant to me. A long tshuva, about 25 pages. So here he writes here a similar svara. He says that the lien of a king is koneh shibudo la melech. I underlined both sections. There's a kind of shibud to the king. And if you don't pay taxes, you can see this on 13 as well. He writes this is the Hashmatos of the Shulchan Harav. The Hashmatot in the back. So he writes, I put the arrow over there on the next page. He writes in the Hashmatot here that if you don't pay the taxes, either you're Osir, Mishum Gezel, you're Gazel, or Sigzel. And he writes at the end, Yerei Shamayim, you see, I put it in a box. You see that? Yerei Shamayim, Yachmir al Atzmok, is for Rabbi Shonah, Shelo Lavor, Alosasi Shabbat Torah. Shouldn't violate a lav daraisa, sabi daraisa, the chumra, and that's what he essentially says here, la locha, at the end. I just want to make another one or two comments. I just have a few more minutes.
How do we resolve the issue of Eretz Yisrael, but it's not, there's no land that someone can say this is mine and will get out?
I mean, that's first of all, where did that svara come from?
They all come to that. By the end of the day, this is what what gives the privilege of collection.
Right, the fact that it's his.
Well, it doesn't play in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, that's the question. Whether, again, but this svara is very original svara, what the Baal HaTanya says. Where did he get it from?
We had it.
No, the Ran does not exactly say that. The Ran said what you said, that you can banish the people from the land. He's saying something a bit more than that. It belongs to the king.
The king gave it to the pirates, and the pirates is the landlord.
Okay, I just want to make one comment, if you don't mind, on there's a... What? Thank you. There's on 14 and 15, there's a whole series of surahs written by this Rav Bloy, who was a genius. Knew all Chashem Mishpat, wrote 15 volumes on Chashem Mishpat. So I happen to have access to his son, also is a Gaon in Chashem Mishpat. Anyway, so the issue he's discussing here is income tax. And income tax, there are two issues, the issue of Gzela and also another issue of Sheker. Gnevas Das, the third issue, Gnevas Das, also even to a goy. You can't be going to Das Me'akam, it's a Gemara Chulin, it's a Rambam. So now, I heard from Marabayim that people fill out, they happened during the COVID. People, all kinds of things were going on here, they wanted to travel, and they had to fill out fraudulent forms. I don't know if you encountered this. He's a lawyer, but you don't do this kind of law. But anyway, so people asked me if they can fill out forms fraudulently to get out of the country. Otherwise, they won't be able to get out of the country. So, I don't know how they violate a pasuk in Chumash. It's a pasuk. So you'll tell me it doesn't apply. Obviously, that's what they assume. This pasuk doesn't apply. It means that everything is the way people...
But it's not normal.
But that is also, that svara that you just said is the same svara where people don't pay taxes. If the country's under the table... Because it's not normal. Who declared? You. You declared that's not normal, and therefore it's not normal, and therefore we're not obligated to observe any of the Dinei HaTorah. That's basically what this country is all about. The last 29 years since I'm here, that's what I see. I try to, I basically am not part of that program, unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever the case is. But I'm saying you have three issues. The issue of Gezel, the issue of sheker, the issue of gneves das, you fill out a form fraudulently, and that's called sheker. It's gneves das. Let's say a person doesn't report all his income. Is that usur? So that's another machlokes. Whether it will lead to chil Hashem. Okay, I understand you tell me sales tax. So that the merchant or the mocher is the one who should be makbid on the sales tax. Is that a din on me, on the koneh?
Yes, it is. You're part of that.
What was that?
What do you mean? You have to pay?
I'm saying that that they what they call mezumanim. You pay mezumanim, no problem, no taxes, no nothing.
Yeah.
Kablanim, lower the price of this, lower the price of that. Chalal space, I'm surrounded by this. This is basically the life of a Rav in this country. So they don't ask me any questions. They stopped asking me questions a long time ago. I'm the wrong Rav. Go all the other Rabbanim, you'll have no problem whatsoever. Go to me, forget about it. You're in trouble. I'm just saying, so that's an issue here. I'm talking about, if I don't report on my income, is that sheker? I said, this is my income. And it's not. My income is three times the amount. What's a sheker? What's a suffix? I don't see the issue. And Chil Hashem, forget about it. Now, it's page 16. I found this. Rabbi Shechter told me he wrote an article. I don't know where it was. Someone got it from me. It was in the Journal of Halacha, Contemporary Society. I'm sorry, I don't read it. I don't read these funny journals. Anyway, so he said he quoted Rabbi Soloveitchik. See over here? Quoted Rabbi Soloveitchik. It's on page 16, the last page. So here, if we accept, I'm reading where the arrow is. If we accept the latter argument prohibiting maintaining a business without paying sales tax, what is the status of a prospective kotlin? May he buy such establishment? Rabbi J.B. Soloveitchik, that's Maran HaRav Zatzal, has said that it's forbidden to buy there because it's naiva. So he may as well close down all Borough Park. Close down the entire Borough Park. Oh, that's the head there, I see. You can't buy from a business that doesn't pay sales tax. Now, it's true this is machlokes by Hafkas Halvo, where it's mutter, since it's based in Nimachos Adino, it's an Isar of Los Higzol. But our Salvation Paskin, that a socher, that mocher is machlokes to pay sales tax. And that's an Inyan Los Higzol. See, if you know that he doesn't pay it, you're over, live the evil, see Temichshol. So what's the limud tzchus? Rabbi Yunus, I know you like to be Malamit tzchus and Kal Yisrael, which is very good. It's a good midah. I'm not against that midah either. So somehow, let's assume that sales tax, they're paying for you, or, I don't know, Yesh Breira, or they pay something, or the merchants... What?
The Rashbam. Because the Rashbam is what we call a kabbal, a social contract. So if everybody doesn't accept that rule, so then it's a Dosh Barabim type of thing, or
wow.
Not Shayek.
Wow.
Is this
a Kiddush?
Massive
Kiddush. Housekeepers.
Not just housekeepers. Do you pay social security for the babysitter? For the housekeeper.
I think
you know anybody who pays taxes on the babysitter.
Housekeepers,
they also
nobody does that. Nobody does that.
Okay, here's another Avraham Lichtenstein. You'll hear this.
Nobody. I don't know.
One second. That's it. Dr. Mazankis. Another Avraham Lichtenstein. I was present, one of my chaver, he does a lot of weddings. He has a shul, very large shul, very famous shul. He's retired already, but he's a large shul in the United States, in New York area, and he's paid a very nice salary, trust me. I think even more than what you make as a doctor. And forget about what I make as a rav. But anyway, this fellow also, people give him money for weddings. How much? $1,000, $2,000 in Masada Kedushin. In Masada Kedushin 50, 60 times a year. I'm not exaggerating. Yeah, one or two a week. So we're talking about $50,000, $60,000. So I asked my brother, Zuchem Levrocha, is he obligated to pay taxes on that? What's the suffix? My brother doesn't push it. I asked Avraham Lichtenstein. He didn't understand what the question was. He couldn't even understand. What do you mean? He's not paying taxes on that?
It's a matana. It's not a salary.
Okay. So that's again. See, we just heard a svara here from Rabbi Asger. He's a Talmud Muvu, Rassel Venchik, his driver, etc. Doshu Bey Rabim and Matona, all kinds of Meir Heter. Wow. Oh, Hashem. I was going to read. Oh, I just have actually 5 more minutes, so I was going to read on the previous page, 14 and 15. I saw in this Sefer, in the Pisrei Cheshen, Okay, you're saying there are legal loopholes. That's what you call, legal loopholes? That's what they're talking about? Yeah? Rabbi Bernstein, legal loopholes. The Pisrei Choshen here quotes from Rivosh. The law of a king that a property belongs to a city A. You give the schar of city B to city A. It's not a real matana. But if you give it to him, that's what you said just now, Dr. Mazen, because he quotes this here on page 14, 15. The Pisrei Choshen, Rabloi Zatzal. If you give it to him, it's a matana. It's similar to Lulav and Esau. It's a real Kenyan. You're doing it to avoid paying the tax. It's mutter. Because al pi halacha, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to city A. That's part of from taxes. And this kind of, so this type of avoiding the tax, he says it's permissible because you're giving him matana, even though your sole interest is to avoid paying tax. So that's what you said. He says a similar kind of svari. He's a goy in Yechashem Mishpat. This rabbi, he was also an honest person. I should mention that also. So basically, just to summarize what we here did till now, that Dilma Chusadina establishes the right of a king to levy taxes and collect the taxes. Number two, whether you're obligated to pay the tax or not, the major machlokes haposkim, Kesem Mishnah says we apply hafkas halva. Mishnah Melech said badina machusadina, we do not apply it because it establishes the right of the melech to collect your obligation to pay. Whether that applies, as I said, to student loans and other kinds of such monetary obligations, there's a makom ladun. The mechaber and Shimon Aruch said you're omer lasigzol if you don't pay the tax. The Ramon, the Gros say we apply Hafkas halvasa. The Gemara Baba Kama, where Hafkas halvasa is mutar, is where the guy is buying the tax, the right to collect tax from the king, but he doesn't become the king. He doesn't have the power of the Imam Chusadina to obligate others to pay the tax. But if he's just an agent for the king, then there's an Isur Lo Sigzal, and then here the Shulchan Aruch Harav brings two opinions and says that the Erei Shamayim should not be over in the Isur Lo Sigzal. So if you're a Erei Shamayim, and by the way, these issues I discussed with two people in my life, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, actually with Anisim Alpin, and also with a third person, going to Abaron Alevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, because Rav Lichtenstein told me I should speak to Abaron Soloveitchik. All on the same page. Rav Soloveitchik, I'll end with this. Rav Soloveitchik said that he was once waiting in Manhattan for a ride to the yeshiva. I'm talking about Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. And all of a sudden, the guy in front of him opens up a table. He never saw this in his life, apparently, and starts selling Rolex watches. He was looking, the Rav didn't know what a Rolex watch was, but look, he said, looks very good, very aristocratic, this Rolex watch. And he was selling it. So the Rav said, wow, I wonder how much that watch costs. So he assumed it cost $500, $600. He told him $25. That's like a European fellow. $25? He says, how do you sell it for so cheap? He said, how much is it worth? He said, worth $500. So he says, how do you sell so cheaply? So the fellow said, don't tell anyone. I took it from someone. So the Rav said,
stolen merchandise.
What?
Stolen merchandise.
Yeah, stolen merchandise. So Rav Soloveitchik was flabbergasted. He couldn't believe that there exist such people in the world. Also another Tumim, another one of the Tumim Tiyam Hashem Lokecha. Then he said over in the Shir, so a few moments later, all of a sudden, there was a police car that apparently passed by. All of a sudden, the whole table was folded up in 2 seconds, all thing disappeared. He never saw anything like it. He said it was like what he called sleight of hand, like a magician. He said, like, suddenly disappeared. I grew up in Rabbeim. My father and mother did not know how to, chas v'sholom, engage in any kind of skullduggery, stealing, thievery. Everything had to be honest and yashristic. That's how I grew up. So I would like to maintain that. I would like to convey it to others as well. I hope you don't mind. I think that's called kedushin to you. That's what we're supposed to be. And this is always the conclusion. So I speak to people, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, all the other rabbeim that you had, and you too. Your hashkafot aren't in order, yes. And they can be dishonest, and they can engage in this kind of skullduggery, kol yom, kol laila, and they have payas, and as I said, a kova, psalangarek, all the whole. Okay, what can I say?
I want to continue next week. I have more to say. I'm dealing with Muslim here. Okay, is that all right? Thank you very much.
This week's parsha, I think Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, what did Esav look like? What did Esav look like? Esav looked like a Rosh Hashiva. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said.
He said
there's a joke about a certain yid who goes to his rebbe.
Who would have taken the vamavina to the yeshiva?
Rebbe. The parents came to collect the taxes.
Everyone would take himself to yeshiva.
And no one would take after he left. And I underpaid him. He figures this out. He's going to come get it. Should I go and inform him?
You say that again.
The rebbe said, nothing to worry about. I was wondering, listen, is the parents Jewish? said, no. So the parts doesn't daven Shema Yisrael. Of course not. I'll never think about it again. Don't worry about it.